Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, a happy new year and welcome to the first Royal Roundup of 2024 from Talk TV. So pop the kettle on. This is The Royalty. I'm Sarah Hewson. Coming up today, pressure continues to grow on Prince Andrew as the unsealing of hundreds of pages of court documents connected to the Jeffrey Epstein scandal continues. Plus, how Queen Camilla has released a new podcast. And a year on from Spare, we reflect on where Harry and Meghan are now. Joining me to discuss all of that and lots more, a royal commentator and Talk TV regular, Afia Hagen, and the Evening Standard's royal editor, Robert Jobson. Our Prince Andrew's accuser, Virginia Giuffre, says she was paid $15,000 by Jeffrey Epstein to have sex with the royal when she was 17 years old. That's according to court documents. Prince Andrew has strenuously denied any wrongdoing and has claimed he has no recollection of ever meeting Ms. Giuffre, who was trafficked by Epstein. Now, we've had this tranche, Rob, of documents that have been trickling out over the course of the past week or so. How damaging do you think they have been to Prince Andrew?
Well, there he was at Christmas with the Duchess of York walking on to other royals to church, and it looked like he was sort of beginning to be accepted by the family again, and then this all comes out. Look, I think it's very damaging. It's not going away. Alan Dershowitz has said that he should have fought the case, and I think we know at the time he wanted to fight the case. But, you know, whilst these things keep coming out, there may not be particularly any more new revelations. It's just more of them. It's just the same old story. But the truth of it is, it is very damaging for him. It's very damaging for the royal family, for the king and his reign. And the king probably has to be seen to do something decisive, but it's very difficult to know exactly what he can do. There's talk about taking his house away and all these things, but he's got a 70-odd year lease. So I don't see how that would necessarily work. I just think it's a very difficult situation. Andrew continues to say he doesn't have any recollection of meeting this girl. There's a photograph that's used all the time that shows he clearly did. And I don't think that will wash anymore. I personally think it would have been better for him to have fought this case, and if he really had the evidence, would have been out to prove his innocence.
That's the argument that was made this week, Afia, by Alan Dershowitz, who was Jeffrey Epstein's former lawyer, who fought his own case against Virginia Giuffre. She withdrew allegations made against him and said it was a case, perhaps, of mistaken identity. But he said he felt that Andrew should have fought the case and could have won, and that he was pressured by the Queen. Now, there's been some criticism of him for dragging the Queen, the late Queen, into this.
And we'd like to think that perhaps both Prince Andrew and the Queen thought they were doing what was best in paying Virginia Giuffre off to the tune of, we think, around £12 million. But if Prince Andrew was completely innocent, as he keeps saying he is, it perhaps would have been better for him to step up and fight that case, ask for the evidence to be brought forth so he could exonerate himself. Because now we've got a situation where he has paid someone off and we've got more allegations coming out in these thousands of pages of documents, and they're still coming out this week. And we've got a situation where we have all these further allegations coming out. He's paid someone off. A lot of people in the court of public opinion are saying there is no smoke without fire. If he was innocent, I agree, then he should have fought the case.
I mean, we're learning here, Bob, is he settled, but that was by no means end of it, was it? And his name comes up again and again and again.
You know, it wasn't a payoff as such. What it is that it was an agreement, and the deal was with a no-blame agreement. And that's, you know, you have to be clear about that. But again, it's the optics. What does it look like?
Yeah.
It looks bad if you're going to pay that amount of money. Mm. I mean, I think it was difficult. If you remember the timings of this, it was just before the Queen's Jubilee. Mm. And people, I think, close to the royal family were hoping it would go away. They felt that if he'd gone to court, he'd been smack in the middle of the Jubilee and it would have completely
ruined it.
What
else could have come out in deposition?
What else would have come out and he would have had to do deposition? But if you remember at the time, he wanted to do that. And part of the reason that he was stripped of all of his titles and all of his links with the royal family is because there was a fear, not only that he wanted... Well, number one, he wanted to be seen as an individual person going to fight that court case, but also there was a fear that if he was a member of the firm, that they would not only sue him, but could sue the wider royal family, yeah, as he was a senior, if you like, executive of the firm. So there were a lot of situations in there where they were advised to settle the case. And a lot of these cases in America that are brought like this are settled, you know, and most of them, actually. So, but I think in this particular case, Dershowitz fought it and won it. And if you look at the evidence or some of the evidence, when you go delving into it a bit deeper, it's quite flaky. So, you know, he probably could have fought it. And I'm sure if he sits there now and thinks, you know, I bet he wishes he probably did.
Whether or not he could have won it, though, ultimately, he was friends
with
a paedophile.
That is the point. And that
sex
is the point.
Offender.
That is the point.
And, you know, stayed in his house after Epstein had served convictions in Florida in 2010. I mean, that's a huge lack of judgment.
And claims in these documents that he stayed for several weeks on end, mm-hmm, that he had daily massages. There have also been claims which many would discredit, made by Sarah Ransom, although she has doubled down on her claims that there were sex tapes, mm-hmm, made involving Prince Andrew, among others as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is very sordid.
Very.
It is very sensational.
Yeah.
And to have a member of the royal family included in this
is
excruciating.
It is, and it must be. Every single time it comes up, you know that the story isn't going to go away. We know the story isn't going to go away. There'll be more and more stuff that comes out over the year, over the months and years. Mm. And I think that, you know, until... I mean, Andrew's clearly... they've taken the view they're not going to go... You know, he's not going to be going to America anytime soon. He's not going to be given any evidence. But look at the judgment here. Mm. His relationship with Epstein, just as you said, his relationship with Ghislaine Maxwell, who was, you know, guest at the palaces and all these things... It was dreadful judgment, and at the very least, you know, he should have been probably, you know, asked to step back from royal duties anyway. Even if he'd fought the case, the bottom line here is that you know, he's clearly not going to be able to be rescued. He's not going to be able to come back into the royal spotlight. I think it was probably a mistake him even being seen alongside the other royal members of the royal family.
But he was like the year before as well, wasn't he?
Then there were video in, and that was that ridiculous conversation he had with, why are you taking pictures
we're
not members
videoing,
of the press and all that. And it was just very odd. I mean, he's clearly not, you know, he's clearly in a bad place. He's clearly down. You know, he can't, he's barely getting a booking in a restaurant in London. He's seen as a pariah. Nobody wants him to be working for them. And his life as a public figure is over. But, you know, as you were saying, a lot of people believe there's no smoke without fire, no matter how hard. Unless he actually goes to a court of law and is cleared, I don't think anybody is going to give him much time anyway.
And Rob, you touched on what the King does about this, if anything more. I mean, there has been some suggestion that he will now have to kick him out of Royal Lodge. But then sources close to Andrew this week have said, no, blood's thicker than water. He's not going to kick him out.
But he's got a 70-odd year lease that he was signed. He's also got the money to fulfil that lease, i.e. he would have been left money by the Queen. Therefore, in terms of its repair, he will do that. He'll repair the property. I think he's staying put, and I don't really see what else the King can do.
I mean, you're right, Rob. There isn't really anything else the King can do. I mean, he shouldn't be front and centre at any public events with the royal family. He shouldn't be at Sandringham. We know that, obviously, everybody has a right to go to church, but the optics, like you said, Rob, are terrible. And, you know, there's been lots of people, again, in the court of public opinion, saying he should be stripped of the Duke of York title, of even the Prince
title. The City
title.
Of York itself has argued
there's a petition there for that as well. But actually, when it comes down to that, there isn't anything that the King can do about that. There's a bill that's only at the very first stage in Parliament to enable the King to go further and strip people of their titles if he wants to do that. But it is so far from ever being law. I don't think that will happen in the next decade. So apart from what has happened already, Prince Andrew stepping back from public life to not being seen as part of the royal family, there really isn't anything else that the King can do or that he wants to do, because at the end of the day, he's still his brother.
His brother, yeah.
And Andrew says he never did anything wrong. You know, so, I mean, it's very difficult, isn't it?
I think for me, it's the girls. It's his daughters that I feel sorry for.
Terrible for them.
Absolutely horrific for them. Queen Camilla, this week, has launched a new podcast called The Queen's Reading Room. It was spawned from her book club, which was born out of shared reading recommendations during the COVID pandemic. The Queen isn't hosting it herself, but does appear on each episode. Now, if you're... I don't know whether I was a bit naive. I sort of tuned in thinking, oh, I was going to hear Camilla interviewing literary greats.
Yeah.
And actually, we don't get that. We only get a little bit of her at the end, which I thought was a shame. Actually.
Yeah, it's a bit of an odd one because, like you, I was like, OK, it's called The Queen's Reading Room. We'll get the Queen interviewing, say, Joanna Lumley about books, which is not what it is. It's kind of whatever author, and you had Joanna Lumley on there.
Ian Rankin, your first episode,
and
yeah.
They've clearly been interviewed, but you just get their answers of their questions, and at the end you get a little bit of Queen Camilla. And I think maybe the format is not the greatest. I think for people who are fans of Queen Camilla, they would tune into this wanting it to be her talking about books with her favourite authors, and it hasn't really delivered on that, which I think is a shame for people who, you know, love The Queen's Reading Room, love Queen Camilla, and would like to hear from her on books. That's not what this podcast is giving.
Because this is something she's really passionate about, isn't she? Literacy and reading.
Yeah, and I've heard her speak passionately about this and give great speeches around the world, do good receptions where she's got all those authors in the room. But I think the thing about the modern-day royal family is, particularly when you've got the likes of what we've seen with William and Catherine and Harry and Meghan, you know, doing all their own journalism, doing all their own interviews, we sort of think that they're fully equipped to, you know, be like the next Michael Parkinson or someone. But, you know, the Queen Camilla, you know, she's not. She's not a...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Trained journalist, not really into that. And also, it would take up an awful lot of time, as we know,
I suppose it's
to do one of these podcasts.
Unrealistic.
But I was expecting a bit more, or even a professional interviewer and asking her questions, a few more questions. So that would have been better. But I can understand once you've committed to something like this, it's quite a lot of work, and she is doing quite a lot of extra work now that she's Queen.
We did get a little snippet, an archive interview from 2021 of her talking to one of her favourite authors, crime author Peter James. And then each week we're told there'll be a question posed to the Queen. And this week was about her favourite books to read to her grandchildren. Mm. Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Apparently.
But apparently she doesn't do the voices, which is a bit of a shame, because, I mean, I do the voices.
She's no good at them, but the king is much better at impressions than her, apparently.
Well, he's very good, yeah. I mean, he wrote children's books for his brothers when he was younger, and he does all the voices for his grandchildren when he's reading for them. So, no, he's got that slightly, as he would say, slightly eccentric bent about him when he comes to these voices, and the kids just love the voices, don't they?
But,
it's a nice snippet,
isn't it? It's a lovely anecdote. We just want a bit more.
What she's trying to do. I mean, I remember going with her to a prison where she was really sitting with the whole group of guys that are, you know, in prison for whatever, a number of reasons. But they were illiterate when they weren't into prison. And through her interventions and the work with the prisons that she does, you know, three or four of them actually learnt to read, and they were going to probably be put in a better place when they'd left prison. So she does an awful lot of work behind the scenes, even if she's not doing that much
on
the podcast.
That would make a very interesting episode, wouldn't it? Mm. Now, the royal family have wished the Princess of Wales a happy 42nd birthday this week, posting a new behind-the-scenes photo of Kate on the King's Coronation Day. What about the celebrations for the Princess this year? A little calmer than this time last year.
Well, at least there wasn't the announcement of her brother-in-law writing another book or another, you know, like Spare came out on her birthday last year, didn't it? I mean, I think it was quite, from what we understand, it was private, it was low-key, just with the family, you know, over a jelly or whatever it was. So I think it was quite, you know, quite low-key in that respect. And that's really how she likes it. That's the point about Catherine. She'll be with her kids, she'll be with her husband, and maybe the in-laws coming, you know, the mum and dad coming over. But really, I think that the royals could do without. They've had quite a lot of big staged events lately. I don't think they need another.
A day minus drama.
Yeah.
Very much welcomed. I mean, we saw Westminster Abbey posting a message to her, and the bells of Westminster Abbey rang out to celebrate her birthday as well, and her various charities as well.
Yeah.
Paying tribute on her birthday.
Definitely. You know, she's patroned with so many charities, has worked with so many great organisations over the past year, and will continue to over this year. I think we've seen a real evolution in the Princess of Wales over the past year, haven't we? As she stepped up to that role of the Princess of Wales, as she launched her Shaping Us campaign, which was launched at the end of January last year. And I think we're going to see more of her stepping into that role, doing more rolling out across Shaping Us, and, you know, really becoming this Princess of Wales and, you know, obviously the Queen in Waiting. So I think, yeah, we're going to continue to see that real evolution in Princess Kate.
Yeah, and there was talk, wasn't there, that soon the King may even give the princess her own royal warrant. And at the moment, after 2 years, all the royal warrants will start to switch over. That might happen, and that she may be, even given the become a member of the Order of the Garter.
Yeah.
So all of these things, I think, also pretty soon he'll make her a member of the Privy Council, because, just like Camilla did when Charles became king, she was in the room for the signing of the proclamation. So I think all of these things will start happening, because she's the second most senior female member of the royal family, and I think all of these things will start to come into play over the next 18 months or so.
Huge responsibility,
a lot,
isn't it,
really,
on her shoulders?
And she's done so brilliantly. If you think everyone talked about her being the girl next door. She had a pre-ordinary life, middle-class, ordinary life. And then all of a sudden, within the last 13 years or so, 14 years, you're a blink away from being the Queen. It's quite an extraordinary story.
Mm. Now, King Charles was intrigued by William and Oliver Ward's handmade Land Rover, which the youngsters were using at Sandringham in Norfolk when their family went to catch a glimpse of the royals on their way to church. It was a really lovely moment at Ophir, wasn't it? These two little boys in the Land Rover that had been made by their grandfather. And it made me think, actually, of Prince Philip and his really love of the Land Rover.
It really did. And, you know, that customised Land Rover that he had for his funeral, these two little boys, but for a happier occasion. Mm. Their grandfather did an incredible job on that.
Absolutely
it
amazing.
It has to be said.
Not showing my boys.
Exactly. These kids. But the king, you know, asking them, you know, was it pedal? Was it motorised? Have you crashed into any trees? And I think, you know, it's super cute. Their grandfather did an incredible job. And it's really nice to see the king sort of getting interested, chatted to them on the way into church and on the way out, came back over to have another look. So, and the mum saying it was pretty surreal. They just decided to go out for a walk with this Land Rover. They take it out most Sundays, heard that the king would be around and thought, why not show him? And good for them.
And these off-the-cuff moments give us a much greater insight, actually, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, he's very kind and he's a nice guy. And the king has always been, I always think, very funny when when he's talking to people and one-to-one, he's on the level with them and he just seems to be very relaxed. But it must have reminded him when his two boys were young, they had go-karts brought to Highgrove when he didn't know about it. And they raced around. He had this lovely meadow that had grown of wild grass and they raced around the whole thing and, you know...
Tore up the lawn.
And then he said to... I mean, it was my friend Ken Wolf, who was Diana's bodyguard. He said to him, who do you think you are? Do you fancy yourself as the next Bernie Eccleston? So they wrecked his entire lawn. But, I mean, it is quite sweet. I mean, I'm sure if it was Prince Philip, he'd have probably been down there with his screwdriver to see how it all fitted
together. Yeah, exactly. Harry and Meghan were once again the butt of the joke, this time at the Golden Globes on Sunday night. Comedian Joe Coy said, it turns out Harry and Meghan were still getting paid millions of dollars for doing absolutely nothing. And that's just by Netflix. I think it's fair to say it wasn't just Harry and Meghan who were the butt of the jokes, the royal family, the crown being portrayed to succession, for example. But, I mean, this follows on from Family Guy and South Park.
Yeah.
A year since the release of Spare.
Yeah.
Was that the start of open season on this couple?
I mean, to be honest, when they, you know, released the Harry and Meghan documentary on Netflix in 2022 now, my goodness, and then Spare, and by putting themselves out there, they knew that they were going to be part of, you know, pop culture, as it were, and that people were going to have opinions and say things about them. I think they know this. I think probably it was the start of open season, and they're used to this. I think any celebrity, as it were, any person who's in the public eye, any person who's known, knows that this is what is going to happen. And, you know, like you said, a year since Spare was released, still such a huge seller, you know, in that first week, 3.2 million copies across physical, audio and digital. I mean, we cannot deny, whether you liked the book or didn't, it shifted. It sold a heck of a lot of units.
Rob, the biographer Tom Bauer this week claimed that they're in danger of losing all their millions and running out of money. I don't think we need to worry that this couple are on the bread line yet, do we?
No.
I mean, you know, they've still got the Netflix deal. Meghan signed with the talent agency WME and she teased at the end of last year that there was some fun and exciting projects to come.
And don't forget the money from Spare would have been a lot of money.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I think the TV may have had it run its course. I think the turning point, I think, in America, actually, when they started becoming the butt of jokes, was this so-called car chase from New York with a high-speed car chase, which a lot of New Yorkers thought was ridiculous. And it actually blew
the
their
credit. The fact that you can't go high-speed anywhere in New York.
So I think that really did, particularly in America, sort of put a lot of people off them. And, we'll see. I mean, I think that... they're not going to run out of money. I think Tom might be wrong there because, I mean, you know, Harry had, you know, 30 million quid in the bank before he did any of these deals. So it's all relative, I'm sure, but I'm sure they'll be fine.
On the subject of Harry, he's to be inducted alongside Apollo 11 hero Buzz Aldrin as a living legend of aviation at a glitzy Beverly Hills ceremony to be hosted by John Travolta. Now, the Duke completed two tours of Afghanistan as a forward air controller and an Apache helicopter pilot, having flown countless training missions in the UK, the US and Australia. He served for 10 years in the military, rising to the rank of captain. He's going to be alongside Jeff Bezos, Tom Cruise, Elon Musk,
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Are you surprised at this particular award, a legend of aviation?
A little bit. I mean, I wonder what the criteria was, because, I mean, someone like Buzz Aldrin, Elon Musk, I can kind of understand. Morgan Freeman, I'm not sure, has maybe flown millions of planes, I just don't know. But, you know, it is a bit of a strange one. But in saying that, you know, he was a helicopter pilot, was in the military for 10 years,
Afghanistan. Saying, well, if that's your criteria, then I hope everyone in the military is going to get the same.
He wasn't a Battle of Britain pilot, was he? Or a fighter. I mean, at the end of the day, I think he sat at the back of the helicopter. But I think whenever these awards come around, you know they've got to get names there to sell the tickets. And I just think it's pushing the word legend, isn't it, really? I mean, yeah, he flew a helicopter and he did well in the war. But is he the same as Buzz Aldrin, one of the first men on the moon? I don't think so.
OK, thank you both very much indeed for joining us for our first programme of the year. That is all we've got time for this week. My thanks to Ophir and Robert. If you want to join in the debate, please do leave a comment and make sure you subscribe if you don't want to miss a single episode. We will be back next week with all of the latest on the Royal Family. We hope you can join us and we'll see you then.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.